Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Joe, what's on your mind today?
I'd be interested in your thoughts, Matt. Perhaps you've covered this subject before, but it's about the difference between freezing assets and actually selling assets, for example, of Russian oligarchs in an effort to provide some pressure points on this Ukrainian battle. And I was looking at an article in an online site called The Conversation, and they were citing two things that we might lose if Biden goes ahead with his efforts to instead of just freezing assets, which we under current law we can do, but instead going into selling these assets. And he's apparently going to Congress to avoid any legal trouble, which is one of the problems they had said, that we currently do not have within our laws. We aren't able to actually sell confiscated assets in this way, but also the diplomatic edge that you may lose by not having these assets as something that you can use as a bargaining chip farther down the line. So I'd be really curious to hear what your thoughts are about those two aspects of it in this situation.
Yeah, thanks. That's an excellent question. And I'm going to give you the legal background and the policy background. The objections that some people have to it, under the Fifth Amendment, you can't take property without due process, which is usually a condemnation proceeding. For instance, if you own a house and it's right in the middle of a planned freeway and they have all the other land and you won't give yours up, they can condemn your house, give you fair market value and take it. But that's due process. And, you know, you get to contest it in court. What Biden is doing, I think, is very smart. I support it. And here's why. Not only don't I think it will have a bad effect, but it's going to have a very good effect. These oligarchs, and this has been, I think, fairly well established, under Putin have stolen something like 80% of the wealth of Russia. By that, I mean they have a very, very large trade surplus because they have plenty of gas and oil, and they sell it. And Putin and the rest of them have stolen well over $1 trillion. And they do it by, for instance, falsifying invoices. You know, the Defense Department will order 100 tanks and they're going to pay, $300 million or whatever, rubles. And they cook it up and then they only get delivery of maybe 30 tanks. And then, but it says all of them. And then the money gets paid and it goes into Putin's bank account and the others. So this is fraudulently obtained money. And it's ultimately, obviously, the property of the Russian people, but the Russian people are committing genocide in Ukraine. And you can say, well, that's Putin. And yes, it's Putin, but he's acting in the name of the Russian people. And these soldiers are torturing people. And these are average soldiers, many of them. So what Biden says is there are tremendous needs in Ukraine because look at their cities. They bombed them. Mariupol is like Aleppo or Grozny. I mean, Mariupol basically doesn't exist anymore. It's people in a basement in a steel plant. And it's going to cost hundreds of billions of dollars to rebuild it. And why should the United States be the only one or Western Europe to do it? So we're going to have the oligarchs do it. So in any event, he's freezing this money. My own view, he hasn't said this yet, we have 350 billion with a B of Russian assets, government assets, in Frankfurt, London, and New York. I would confiscate that too and use it to rebuild Ukraine. So then if you are a liberal in the Western tradition, you'd say, but Matt, what about due process? Shouldn't you get a judge's permission to do it? And our judicial system right now is so clogged. Trump has exploited it and all of his people, that constant appeals, they blow up subpoenas, they lie, they destroy documents, they engineer a coup. And nothing's happened to them. The only thing that's happened to people are the idiots who actually went in and struck police officers. But the people behind the scenes, nothing's happened to them. So I think what Biden is doing, and I'd do the same thing. I'd say, you know, there are different kinds of due process. As long as it's due process, can be manifested in different ways. One of them is, say, an act of Congress. And if the act of Congress is, okay, confiscate it, and I think it would get through, then you go ahead and confiscate it. Then what happens is the burden is on the oligarch. not on us to start a condemnation proceeding, but on the oligarch, you know, Joe Shmuleyevitz, wherever the heck he's hiding out. And he has to come into court in the United States and say this is wrong. He can do that, but we should require that he come here personally, that he not just hire lawyers and give virtual depositions from a hiding place. The minute he comes in here, I would arrest him. I would arrest him. And what I would do is charge him with collusion, theft of his nation's assets, which we do all the time. And we have jurisdiction to do that in this country. Frequently, this money comes through American banks. And then I'd put him in prison. And then if I were the judge, I would say, well, was there due process here? Yes, there was due process. A thief is not entitled to the return of the stolen goods. I mean, that's very clear law. So unless he can prove, the burden's on him, that he's not a thief and that he got $80 billion just because he's a very smart businessman when he hasn't done jack. You see what I mean? So in other words, it would put the judicial burden to start it on the oligarch, and we would require he come into the country. He cannot do it with surrogates and arrest him, so he won't do it. And we will get that money. Now, you could argue, some people would say, well, shouldn't that go to the Russian people? Well, if the Russian people hadn't been complicit, and not all of them were, Navalny is not, and all these terrific protesters are not, but the Russian people in general, the polls show 80% approval of Putin's war. And even though you can say part of that is fear, you know, look, if you and I are in Moscow, pollster calls up, you support Putin's war. You kidding me? If you say no, you're liable to get arrested. So I think part of that's cooked, but not all of it's cooked. And I think that the word has to go out, the same in Nazi Germany. If you are complicit in this in any way, you're going to pay a price, and not with your lives, but why should the people of Ukraine have their cities destroyed, people murdered, their kids kidnapped? There's got to be a remedy. So I think this is a real good way to do it, Joe. And then the other one was diplomatic and policy, and that's an interesting point. Couldn't we freeze it and then hold it in abeyance and basically give it back to the thieves once what? You know, there were negotiations. I don't think you can negotiate with Hitler. I don't think you can negotiate with ISIS. I don't think you can negotiate with the Russian mafia or the Mexican drug cartels or jihad. You cannot negotiate with fanatics, people who are evil to their core, because they'll lie. Look at Iran. They are lying throughout these negotiations on their bomb, and they are going to get a nuclear weapon if something isn't done. And then they'll be like North Korea, threatening people, threatening Israel, threatening our troops throughout the Middle East, threatening our allies, and threatening Europe. You can't negotiate with them, in my view. That's not to say there aren't good Iranians, good Russians, good people in Mexico, good people throughout the Middle East, good people everywhere. There are. There are. But they're abused. And so that's what I would say. This, to me, is a no-brainer. It's not just the yachts and the mansions. These people have actual cash squirreled away. And one of the things that kills me about this, Putin has a mistress who is a woman. She's 39 years old. She's a gymnast, and she's a contortionist. Not that this is relevant at all, but he circulates a picture where it's the most chilling picture I've ever seen. You see her smiling, her face between two ankles, and you think, oh, my God. Well, it turns out they're her ankles. I mean, she has rubber bones practically, and she curls her legs around her head, and this is his mistress. I think he's had a child with her. She hasn't been sanctioned yet, and he's funneling money through her. Why is that permitted? Why don't we sanction her? We've sanctioned his family. We sanctioned his daughters. The fear was, well, if you sanctioned his mistress, he may get mad. Well, he's mad right now. In fact, he's crazy right now. So this is just an example. I would hunt down every dollar these people have, every dollar, confiscate it, and use it to rebuild Ukraine and to repay us and the UK and other countries that have provided a lot of military support. And if people say lack of due process, fine. The only people that have standing to say that are the people from whom the money was taken. You know, not me or you or anybody. So they can go to a U.S. court. Absolutely. And they can start an action for restoration of their property because it was taken without due process. But they'd have to come here, and I would arrest these people. And if they do come here and are not arrested, and I'm a judge, I say, okay, where did you get the money? Oh, I sold baseball caps. Oh, you did? What, for $80 billion? And I think the proof will be they stole it from the Russian people. And a thief is not entitled, this is black letter law, to the return of money he stole. And then he can say, well, it should go to the Russian people. And if I were a judge, I'd say, you have no standing to say what should go to the Russian people. You stole it from the Russian people. And our government has decided it's going to go as a remedy to rebuild a country that was subject to genocide and sadism. Anyway, Joe, that's the way I look at it. But there's some very respected people of all sides will say, well, we should do it like a condemnation proceeding, like their house is in the path of a freeway and all this stuff. I get it, but I think I just laid out my thoughts. And excellent question. Thanks for calling in, as always. This is unbelievable. Gableman, a second judge, just ordered the Wisconsin Republican Party not to delete records that they had that are connected to Gableman. Judge Bailey Wren is the second judge over in Madison. She said, quote, I'm frankly amazed that I have to say, don't destroy records that are subject to an open records request, end quote. This is Judge Bailey Wren, whom I know. 2 weeks before, Judge Frank Remington over there ordered them not to destroy records. And here's the game they're playing. They're saying, well, Gableman is the defendant in Remington's case, and Voss is the defendant in Bailey Wren's. So Bailey Wren can't tell Gableman what to do, and Remington can't tell Voss what to do. You see, Bailey Wren cut right through that. And you know what she said? She said, Voss is the principal. Gableman is the agent. The principal is responsible for the actions of the agent. Gableman is shoveling documents into the furnace more than Nixon ever did. And I'm telling Voss, you stop it. And if you don't stop it, you're going to get fined. They've got to do more than fine these people. They have to put them in jail. You can't just blow off open records like that. Enough's enough. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.